The word today is judgment. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. One day, life as we know it here on earth will come to an end. We call that day Judgment Day. Scripture also calls it the Day of the Lord. On that day, the dead will rise and God will judge each person. They will be separated into two groups, the saved and the lost. Are you ready for that day? Here with more on this topic is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Judgment.
On our last broadcast, we began to talk about the Day of the Lord. Probably the simplest way to refer to that is Judgment Day. That's the Day of the Lord. It's when Christ will return, and all of the dead who have ever lived will be raised from the graves, and everyone will be judged by Christ. Those who had faith and believed that Jesus was going to return and that Jesus died for their sins, they are the forgiven children of God, and they will have eternal life, and he will take them with himself to heaven. Those that have denied Christ's return, those who didn't believe in him, those that didn't accept him as their personal Savior and didn't have the forgiveness of their sins, they will be condemned and they will be confined to hell, which is also eternal, and they will be with Satan and the evil angels there forever. And so there is going to be a judgment. You know, once in a while, people try to act foolish about this, and they'll say, well, it certainly has been a long time, and it's been 2,000 years already, and Christ hasn't returned yet. And they want to make us feel as though, boy, it's so long, and it's going to be so long. You know, the thing they forget is there is no time with God. Let me say that again so that you get the full impact of that. There is no time with God. Isn't that a fantastic concept? Isn't that a fantastic truth? God doesn't operate with time. Well, in a sense, he does in our behalf. He knows about time. Actually, he created us for us here on earth, and the sun, the moon, the stars, and so on, all of this is part of the timing that he gave us for daylight and how we are to live day by day. That's strictly for us here as his human creation. But with God, there is no time. That's why when we speak of God waiting a long time before Christ returns, it's a ridiculous statement because, first of all, he hasn't waited at all. There is no time with God. He will come at the precise moment, so to speak, to use a time reference there, as we as human beings must do. That's the only way we can think. We can't think eternally in the sense of what eternity is, but someday we will when we are with Christ in heaven. But the whole point is God isn't waiting a long time. It hasn't been a long time. And once in a while people try to fantasize and try to answer questions like, what happens to the person that dies today? And Judgment Day hasn't come yet. What about the time between their death and Judgment Day? The point, once again, folks, is there is no time. There is no time lapse. With God, everything is the same. And by the way, I think the most important thing to understand is that the concepts we talk about here, like not having no time with God, is to be verified by the Scriptures. We are not to just make up theories or opinions. For instance, turn to the epistle of 2 Peter. 2 Peter, that's the second time that Peter wrote to these people. It's been several years now since Peter had written his first letter. And in that letter, he was encouraging the young Christian church to stand firm against external enemies. There were all kinds of problems that the Christian church had to face. But things have changed now by the time he now, several years later, writes his second letter. And now the enemy is within the church. Now the enemy is false prophets teaching things that are false within the church. You know, You have to be careful of both the external enemies of the church and the internal. Those are there that are right there within the church itself. But let me get to the point I wanted to make here. While you're looking at the second letter of Peter to the Christian church, way in the back of the New Testament, turn to chapter 3. And I want to point out where I'm getting this idea that there is no time with God. Look at verse 8, chapter 3, verse 8, where it says, "Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day." There you have the teaching, biblically, that with God there really is no concept of time, because he is proving to us that he is in charge there. We're talking about God's way of dealing. A day is like 1,000 years, and vice versa. So God is not slow in fulfilling his promise, as though some people would say, why hasn't he come yet? Well, he will come at precisely, and I want to use that word, at the right time. He knows exactly and specifically, just like his first coming when he sent his son Jesus Christ, when we celebrate Christmas, that the Virgin Mary gave birth to the human being Jesus, not conceived in her by a man, otherwise he would have merely been another human being, but conceived in her by the Holy Spirit, by God himself, so that he was God in the nature of man, God and man, perfect God, perfect man, without sin. That's why he died and suffered for us in our place and has given us the forgiveness which he did not need, but earned for you and me. So now then, the judgment comes when God decides. And all of a sudden, you know, the Bible tells us a few clues too. It says, when it's least expected. I suppose if you went to any city in this world and asked 12 people, do you think Jesus Christ is going to return today? I would guess that out of 12 people, all 12 of them would say, no, not today. You see, we have plans for tonight, and next week we're going to be doing this and that. You see how earthbound we are in our concepts of time even, and in the waiting for the return of the Lord. We probably don't think he could come today. Now, the Bible says that's a pretty good clue of why he might come today. When he is least expected, that's when he will return. We are to realize that he will choose that time and that moment. And until then, look at verse 18 of chapter 3. We are to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. The command to us there is that we are to grow. We are to wait, patiently wait for his return. He's coming. And in the meantime, grow in our relationship with him. And we do that by growing through our knowledge of his word. That's why the study of the Bible is so very important. Now, to the believer, the return of Christ brings joy. Oh, it says, when these things begin to happen, lift up your eyes and behold, for the Lord is returning. Christ is coming. What great joy we've been waiting, and here is the fulfillment of our waiting. Jesus Christ. If we are still alive when he returns, we will see him. But even if we have died prior to that, God will resurrect us on that day and we will see him. We will be resurrected from the dead. Every human being that's ever lived or has ever been born will be there. Now, the unbeliever, you see, is going to have a totally different reaction. His reaction will be one of horror and one of fear. What he didn't believe has ended up to be true. And what he didn't think would happen has happened. As a matter of fact, Judgment Day from the viewpoint of an unbeliever, take a look at a couple verses in the scriptures that describe that. Look at Luke, the Gospel of Luke, 23rd chapter, verse 30. And let me give you something in the last book of the Bible, the Revelation of St. John. In the 6th chapter of the Revelation of John, verses 15 to 17, the unbeliever, it points out, will be horrified and shocked. And of course, it'll be too late. There's no repenting then. When those things take place, there is no second chance or no second choice. Be aware of that. That's a very solemn warning. Don't think you're going to have another opportunity. There won't be any opportunity at that point because you're either a believer or an unbeliever. Now, when the Bible talks about the revelation of John, for instance, let's go back to Revelation for just a second. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, and chapter 6, verse 12, all the way through chapter 7. You know, all these sections in the Revelation of John talk about the judgment day of the Lord. As a matter of fact, I could give you four or five more right there. Let me do that quickly. And I'm not suggesting that you should spend a whole lot of time reading the Revelation of John. As a matter of fact, if you haven't read the rest of the Bible first, I would suggest you do that first and then go to the Revelation of John. It should be read by Christians. It'll be a blessing to you. But don't get all hung up because a lot of it talks about the things that are in the future yet and the immediate time before the coming of the Lord. So don't get all wound up. You know, they say that there's many different opinions about what Revelation means as there are commentators, as there are people who read it. Well, that's probably true. But it is good to take a reading of it, and you'll see how often it speaks about the day of the Lord. And our bodies, you know, this is the one important thing that's so different about the Christian faith. Did you know that all the pagan religions talk about the body as being evil? Not the Christian faith. The body and the soul are both saved, and we will, body and soul, be with Christ if our sins are forgiven through Jesus and we trust in Him.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for the Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find the Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support the Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.